Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Need to come up with a new exciting intro, but we are broadcasting live right now on American Freedom Radio. For the benefit of the listening audience, thank you very much for tuning in. I actually really appreciate it when you do tune in live. I appreciate it when you share the archives and watch them and comment on them and things like that. It's really good to get feedback. So many of you listeners have commented about certain things happening on the show, like there would be this weird squeaky noise or something like that, and it was my desk. And my friend John, he came round one time, and the desk used to wobble side to side, and he fixed that. And it used to squeak as well. And after he came around just the other day, he fixed that too. So now I can wobble the desk, and it's not squeaking in a loud, scary tone of voice. Thank you, John. See, this is the listener contributions that we get. And also, I want to give a shout out to Leon as well, who traveled up here to Auckland all the way from sunny Gisborne to water blast my deck and do a couple of jobs around the place, you know, as a donation. He couldn't afford to pay me anything, but he could afford to get himself a bus ticket up here, you know. Just we all help out people in the way that we can. The way that I can help people is, you know, give them space to speak about very important issues where they ordinarily wouldn't get any coverage. Now, that is a very time-intensive job, ladies and gentlemen. It takes a lot out of you when you're editing or when you're broadcasting. As anybody who's a broadcaster or a video editor knows, it can be excruciating, especially if you're not being paid. All right, and it's not the reason that I do this, but it does help to have a roof over my head and the internet bills paid for by all those automatic payments that come into the Kiwi Bank by ordinary Kiwis who are giving, you know, well, I think it was somebody who's giving $1.56 a week, you know, that kind of thing. He goes, no, I can't afford $2 for it. I can afford $1.56 a week. And it's like, oh my God, the contributions that people give out of what little they have. I mean, it's the reason why I can keep doing this, but it is not the reason that I do it. Much like the reason why those people donate is not because of things that I'm doing. It's because of the things that I've already done. And a very long track record here of being on the side of the people who have the facts. You know, just trying to make sure that those facts get out there. Notice it didn't say truth, because there are a lot of people out there masquerading as barons of truth. They're big, extravagant operations and things like that, with many minions to do a lot of the groundwork or something like that. But the Vinnie Eastwood Show is just me, all right? And when I'm doing the live broadcasts, American Freedom Radio is helping to share that out, and they're doing the archives and things like that. But in terms of coming up with the show and the guests and so on and so forth, and doing all the editing and the archiving and a million social media things, I could go on for the remainder of this hour about just the stuff that I had to do today, like three whole archives and the amount of different audio files and video links and descriptions and tags and so on and so forth, and the amount of times they need to be shared repeatedly across varying Facebook groups of a similar topic nature, this kind of thing. People don't realize the amount of just excruciating work that has to go on back here, including doing, what was it, the cannabis armistice videos, right? 8 speeches. They sat there and edited out everybody's ums and ahs and made them like speak a lot quicker and that kind of thing, and put a little bit of music under it. You know, it doesn't sound like a lot of work, but and it's not, you know, particularly hard to do. It just takes time, you know. So that was like 3 days of my time to make sure that 8 people who gave their speeches at the cannabis armistice actually have their voices heard by more than the few dozen people that actually turned up, not including any except one of the previous cannabis rally at that location, who were politicians. All right, all of these politicians like showed up before the election. Oh, we're going to do this about medical cannabis and that about medical cannabis. And not one of them shows up after it, except the Legalized Cannabis Party co-leader, Mackie Herbert, right? It's just, it's a frustrating thing for me to do so much work to make sure that these people get the coverage they deserve, and to not have people sometimes share the links or even give it a like or that kind of thing. It's just like all that work just goes into nothingness. Much like the this, what would happen if those people had sat up there and did their speeches without me filming it, you know? And it wasn't just me filming it, but am I the only one who's gotten all their videos up already? Happened on last weekend, you know, that kind of thing? No. Not charging anybody for that service, am I? Because those activists can't afford it. These are sick, dying people, right? They can barely even make it to that protest themselves. And speaking of which, we're going to go into our first article here, which is just music to my eyeballs. I don't know if that's the expression, but let me read this out for you. Leaked email, United Future Party to disband after election struggle. Now, I met the person pictured here in this article, Damien Light, and it was interesting because I quizzed him about the conflicts of interest that the United Future Party, Peter Dunn, had when he was trying to ban cannabis, legalize synthetic cannabis, at the same time that his son was one of the chief legal lobbyists for the synthetic cannabis industry, which have since been named synthetic drugs after scientific research has found out that there's no cannabis in it. Not even close to a singular compound of cannabis was ever in it. They just said it because it would make it popular. And now it's a scourge because it got banned, just like cannabis did. Cannabis hasn't become a scourge, per se. The cannabis laws have. And think about the people now being busted with synthetic stuff. It's just like, oh my God, it's out of the crazy. Peter Dunn, the United Future Party, for decades, right? Since 1984, since the year I was born until now, that guy Peter Dunn from the United Future Party has been in Parliament blocking cannabis law reform. So hence, when I saw the headline, leaked email, United Future Party to disband after election struggle, my first natural response is, ah! Oh, justice! But the kid pictured there, Damien Light, he was just kind of like dodging the questions that I asked him when I met him about Peter Dunn's conflicts of interest and stuff. Like, oh, but it's actually blah, 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 and he's not in that anymore. Yeah, but that doesn't excuse the particular behavior at the time, bro. Just because somebody's not committing the exact same crime anymore doesn't mean no crime was committed. An email to United Future members that appears to be from party leader Damien Light says the party is disbanding. Light is pictured here with partner Josh Harding. Those of you on the radio listen can't see that. But anyway, United Future Party members have decided unanimously to disband the party. Unanimously! And this follows Peter Dunn stepping down, right? He was the only thing that party had. And as soon as his electorate had, like, not enough votes, like, guaranteed not enough votes, because everybody hated him and everybody was, like, banding together, even the major parties were banding together to freaking get that guy out, he goes, oh, I'm not going to contest this election. I'm going to get out. Just conveniently at the time when he reverses his situation on cannabis and says, oh, yeah, I want medical, I want legal, and I want to legalize all drugs and all of that kind of stuff. And then the second he is going to actually be able to make any votes or any change on that, he leaves Parliament, and then their party disbands, along with their promises. And the only thing that's left is a track record of scumbaggery and empty promises. You know, No wonder that puppy's disbanding. That's enough time I'm actually going to spend on that particular topic there, because it fills me with hate, and this show's supposed to be fun. Hate can be fun, though, can't it, Vinny? Maybe we should go back. No! Control yourself. Greens will not support revised TPP trade deal. How interesting, ladies and gentlemen, that the globalist Greens Party, whose frickin', what would you call it, policies, in inverted commas, are quite literally a carbon copy of Agenda 21. Like, literally, there's actually, like, boxes and boxes on Agenda 21 that says, oh, this area will do that, and this area will do that, and that kind of thing, to make it all simplified for everybody. And then the Green Party basically copy-pasted that and then put it on their website as all of their policies. Like, that's their policies, Agenda 21, full frickin' stop. What does that mean in regards to the TPP? Well, Agenda 21 is about privatization of everything and the enslavement of sovereign nations to a new world order and a global government to be governed by ruthless criminal sociopathic banking elites and so forth. So naturally, when the new Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, who got a Freemason scholarship before she then went into internationalism school in the UK, helping to cover up a Freemason's sexual abuse scandal involving senior police. Her daddy's also a 40-year police career and got appointed to the, what was it, High Commission of Niue, little Pacific Island nation. And then she went to work for the Better Business Bureau, which is a pro-business agency, which was like contracted by the UK or something like that to try and, I don't know, get the EU to work better. And by better, they mean cutting red tape for enormous businesses that are owned by the same banking elites, etc., and strangling small businesses with red tape. And then she came to New Zealand and became mentored by a whole bunch of members, high-profile Labour Party members, of globalist organisations like the Club de Madrid, Helen Clark, which is former heads of state that want to bring about a new world order, right? And Parliamentarians for Global Action, which is populated with members of parliament from around the world. And then they go around the world and do all these little talks and things like that and school them in internationalism and how it's a good thing. And then Jacinda becomes a prime minister and everybody's like, yay, everything's going to change. She's not neoliberal or anything like that. No. And I'm like, you can. There's nothing going on here, right? There's just nothing going on here, right? So I'm going to start reading the article because it also ties in interesting how you've got a number of bad globalist players who are playing themselves up against each other, making this seem like there's actually any freaking difference between them, right? As if some of them have got principles, right? When they freaking don't, they just don't have any principles, okay? The Green Party will vote against legislation to bring the revised Trans-Pacific Partnership into effect, despite PM Jacinda Ardern's assurances it was, quote, a damn sight better than the original. Oh, yeah, we've got this incredibly dangerous, poisonous pill that could kill 10 people just by swallowing it. But now it'll only kill, like, 5 people when you swallow it. It's a good deal, man. It's a good deal. But isn't everybody going to be swallowing that one poison pill that can kill 5 people? Yeah. But that doesn't be, that's not actually really an improvement or of any benefit. That's still death and enslavement to a global government through trade deals, etc., much like the EU did to the UK. Notice how that Brexit vote ain't actually going through? What did you think was going to happen, ladies and gentlemen? That they'd give you your freedom back because you voted for it? Laughing to hide real pain. That will leave Labour reliant on the National Party. Oh my God, there's 45% in the House are like support of this kind of thing. And that's what's frustrating to me, ladies and gentlemen, is that it doesn't matter who's in power, they still basically have the same allotted alignment for votes through the House as the other people who used to be in power anyway. So there's no discernible difference. It's scumbaggery, it is scumbaggery, it is scumbaggery. We'll be reliant on the National Party to stick to its pledge to support the legislation needed to implement the agreement once it is signed. Now, we've passed the TPPA, lock, stock and barrel, through New Zealand Parliament already. All right? All we needed to do was sign the treaty or whatever the heck, and then there's some BS about Trump pulling out, and then we signed a one-on-one trade deal with Trump. What does it matter if he pulled out of the TPPA if we have the exact same kind of BS trade deal with them anyway? All right? Global government, by hook or by crook. And this is where it gets interesting. I told people from the very beginning that if the TPP doesn't pass or runs into trouble or whatever, that they will simply change the name of it and continue to push it in your face. Right? I'll continue to read the article before we get to that point, though. Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern confirmed Labour is set to sign up for the revised version of the Trans-Pacific Partnership after changes during last-minute negotiations on the sidelines of APEC in Vietnam, where she incidentally met the head of Facebook. And so did, Justin Trudeau and Malcolm Turnbull, the respective Prime Ministers of Canada and Australia. All right? Justin Trudeau didn't go to the TPP, little thingy. All right? He was more interested in talking to the lady from Facebook, their CEO. Facebook's government, all right? Facebook government. Imagine that. Voting through it and this kind of thing. Sounds kind of scary, doesn't it? Only if you think. Legislation to introduce the agreement, now renamed CPTPP, the Comprehensive Progressive Trans-Pacific Partnership. Now, interesting little bit of tidbit of knowledge about the word progressive is that back in the McCarthy era, the 70s, there was a lot of heat generated about communism during the Cold War, right? So they made it illegal for the United States to have a communist party. So what did the Communist Party do about this? Did they continue to campaign as the Communist Party, knowing that they would get arrested for it? Or did they change it to the Progressive Party? You guessed it, they changed it to the Progressive Party. So what you're doing here is you're going Comprehensive Communist Trans-Pacific Partnership. All right, translations. Interesting when you find out what things really are, isn't it? Go into the etymology. It would go to Parliament, including a select committee process to ensure there could be public input. Oh, yes, the select committee process. I know about these. I've seen many of them, where heaps and heaps and heaps of people from all over the country bust their ass to write something and go there and deliver it in person and write in all of these letters and send all these petitions and so on and so forth. And then these bored-looking politicians under fluorescent lighting all day has to sit there and listen to this shit. And at the end of it, they ignore all of it and pass what they were going to pass anyway. Mm-hmm. I've seen it happen time and time again, and I'm not an old man yet. And that's what I'm talking about, this renaming of something. CPTPP. You know, something harder to remember than TPPA. It's a CPTPP. Yeah. You know, CPTPP, yeah, you know me. I can, see, you can't even make a protest rhyme out of it, bro. It's just not going to work. How do you get people to say the CPTPP, the CPTPP? Oh, my God. You know, like, the only people who could actually chant that would be rappers, which conveniently I can do in a pinch. Now, those changes that they're making to this, included some exemptions from investor state disputes resolution mechanisms and suspension of aspects of the agreement which were specific to the United States prior to withdrawal. Word salad. What the hell does that mean? It means that if you pass a law in any way, shape, or form that impedes the economic viability of a company who otherwise didn't even have any economic viability in the first place, they can sue you in the international courts, which they own and control, for lost profits that they didn't even make and will continue not to make, as you have to continue to pay for their lost profits that they didn't make till the end of time, or until such a time as you run out of money to pay them, and then they start asking for your strategic assets to fold them into the privatized global government. This is how these trade deals turn your sovereign state into nothing. No independence, no freedom, no sovereignty. What does sovereignty mean? It means you're a king, the lord of the land. You know what a lodeal title is, bro? It's when you actually are a lord on your land, which means you can tell cops to get off your land. You literally are the law and the lord with lodeal title. Okay? When you sell or buy a home, does it come with a lodeal title to it? It belongs to the government. And that's why you have to pay rates. Perhaps a bit of a Freudian slip there. Deliberate Freudian slip. You know, like, oh, I tripped, I fell, I landed in her vagina. You know, like a deliberate Freudian slip. Although Ardern said it was a marked improvement on the deal that the national government had negotiated, Green Party trade spokeswoman Gulriz Gharamaman. See, I pronounced that right on the first try. That's because I know my grammar, man. She said it would not go far enough to secure the party's support. We don't think the changes make enough substantive difference. What a surprise. We are glad Pharmac is more protected. By more protected, I mean not protected at all. And there's actually just a wedge in the door to allow globalist criminals to come in and sabotage whatever Pharmac is. You know, and when I say whatever Pharmac is, I know what Pharmac is. But the thing is, it doesn't matter because it's not just that one thing in isolation that they're going to apply this entire spectrum of stratagem in order to corrupt and destroy and bring under their control and make us all subservient. Okay? It is everything. Everything. But actually, we can still be sued for breaches under the investment chapter, so we don't think that's gone far enough. As I said, that being sued for the investment chapter, international court, no rules, they own it, we pay them forever. Simple as that. Okay? The Labour government wants to sign this deal, folks. Think they're on your side? If they were on your side, they would sign a trade deal with only two letters. N-O. Okay? If they're on your side, the answer is TPPA or CPPTPPP, whatever it is now. Hey, the answer is no. Just no, bro. Just no. She said it would have been good if New Zealand had pushed harder, as Canada and Vietnam had done. She said Labour had always known the Greens would oppose it, and it was made clear in negotiations before it signed up for its confidence and supply agreement. It would not impact on the government's ability to sign up to the CPTPP. The CPTPP. I am the monarch of the sea, and I signed the CPTPP. That's a Pirates of Penzance thing, I thought you were. Or HMS Pinafore. I forget. I never even heard it before. Let alone Pinafore. National leader Bill English has promised national support to get the deal done, saying it was vitally important for the country and wider region. Yeah, that's right. The region, right? He's talking about the oceanic region. Okay? This is how they're going to put us into a block, just like they did to the European Union. First it was the the EEC, the European Economic Community, a trade deal to line everybody up, and then all of a sudden they've all got the same government now, which has ridiculous restrictions on absolutely everything of any kind. Like, if you are a small business, you won't be. All right? It's not that you're going to grow any bigger. It's that you won't even get your foot in the door anymore. And that's the reason why these trade deals exist, to strangle small businesses with red tape and to cut red tape for larger corporate chains and things of that nature. Who is a specialist in doing that and has that in their work record? Why, the new Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern, when she worked for the Better Business Bureau in the UK and helped to do the exact same thing for European Union businesses. Do you get what's going on here? These people are playing us. I'm very frustrated at the amount of hope. Like there's even a skerrick of hope out there that these people are on their side. It's just, no, they're not. Listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. That it doesn't matter what you get in terms of concessions. They will eventually take everything from you in one way, shape, or another. They are snakes and you can't deal with them as if their word means something. You have to know, not think, not assume, but know that if they're not lying, then they're certainly withholding something, which means that regardless of what they're doing, regardless of what they're saying, regardless of what they appear to be doing or actually doing, there's always some form of deception going on. Always. The Greens will also seek a change in the process to ensure no further trade agreements could be entered into without parliamentary scrutiny and approval. And that's worked out really well for us so far, you know. Oh, the scrutiny. Oh, we needed the approval. While there were 600 businesses negotiating in secret behind closed doors, you know. It's just... But John Key, the Prime Minister, you know, former Prime Minister, should I say, after he stepped down, as soon as New Zealand got mentioned 66,000 times in the Panama paper money laundering leaks or something like that. Oh, we're not the money laundering capital of the world, really. How'd we get in $100 billion worth of debt in 8 years, John? All right. We got $8 billion in debt over the last 150 years, and you got us into $100 billion in 8. What's going on here, bro? Does it have anything to do with the fact that you're a former, like, Wall Street banker and that kind of thing? No? No, nothing to do with that whatsoever? Oh, you assure us there's no conspiracy whatsoever? Okay. Yeah, I'll believe that. Mm-hmm. It's just... Former US President Barack Obama introduced legislation that bound the American executive on human rights and environmental and democracy issues. Human rights, environmental, and democracy issues. It means everything that governs human behavior, everything that governs the environment, and everything that governs the humans that are trying to govern themselves in that environment. What does that sound like to me? Agenda 21. Which is, again, where all these trade deals come in. All right, it's strictly for the implementation of Agenda 21. I would like to talk to the government and look into introducing law to make sure we don't have this kind of trade agreement come up again in future. Oh, well, that'd be interesting to see. She said that would mean such agreements had to enforce the social responsibilities of multinationals and ensure the protection of human rights and environmental issues. You know, just playing the card, playing the card. I mean, their leader used to work for PricewaterhouseCoopers, okay? A huge pinstripe mafia-type organization that does all these nice chartered accountancy things with the government and whatnot. Oh, mate. The list goes on. Then the article's not too long. I think we can probably finish it before this hour's out. Sorry if I feel a little bit exhausted, but I don't actually want to keep continuing to talk about the TPPA. Let's go on to the next article here. 15,000 scientists issue catastrophic warning to humanity. Oh, well, 15,000 of them, eh? It must be the majority or whatever. Couldn't be like that 48 or 50,000 scientists that signed the climate change is not entirely man-made crowd, and that we should be looking at real environmental issues like the amount of frickin' toxicity, like actual toxicity that is not necessary and detrimental to all life that we're pumping into the environment. Like, there's no tomorrow, and if we keep continuing to do so, there won't be one. You know? And all they're trying to do, really, with these climate change scares thing, is to get people to give up their rights. Okay? It's just like the drug laws. Get people to give up their rights. You know, there's the idea. Environmental pollution from filthy air to contaminated water is killing more people every year than all war and violence in the world. Now, see, there's environmental pollution. They actually started off with something that was real. But however, while they start off with something that's real and something that sounds perfectly reasonable, they'll then go into talk about how the only way that we can sign this is to like do carbon taxes or climate change or cycling or some other kind of BS. Not dismantling the enormous corporate structures around the world that are headed by psychopaths who don't care about the environment or the people that live in it and catastrophically destroy it systematically on a daily freaking basis. No, let's not do that, because that might affect, I don't know, our advertisers. I mean, in large part, there's not anywhere near as much need. With the advent of the internet and the drone technology and 3D printing and so on and so forth, the centralization and mass production of any product is now rendered moot. Okay? Anywhere can manufacture anything now. Okay? You have the internet, you got a 3D printer, you've got some kind of materials or whatever that you want to make. It depends on what you want to get. You can buy the raw materials and shove them into the printer and then download the specs of whatever and print a car. It doesn't matter now, right? There are vast dumps in this world that are meant only for brand new cars. Did you know that? Stretching far as the eye can see, brand new cars that are specifically kept off the market, because if they flooded the market, the average price for the cars would go down. They'd rather let millions of cars rot than give them to people cheap as they made them. That strike you as something profoundly sick that only a psychopath would do? A lot of questions that we have about society. Why would somebody do that? They're a psychopath. Oh, okay. You know, see, you know, it's just, oh, it takes away the, whew, oh, that's much easier to understand. Thank you, Vinny. A prophetic quote warning to humanity, giving notice of perils facing the Earth, has been issued by more than 15,000 scientists from around the world. Climate change, see, there you go. What did I say? It was right at the top of the list. Climate change, deforestation, loss of access to fresh water, because they're probably selling it to Nestle, and the deforestation is caused by McDonald's, and species extinctions, and uncontrolled human population growth. Oh, yeah, so now we're going to bring in the population control agenda, the birth control and all of that kind of stuff. That's, it's making people sick and depressed, you know? You ever hear of cat ladies and things like that nowadays? They're ubiquitous. They're everywhere. But back in the day, not so much. You know why? Because these women had husbands and kids, and they loved them and saw them grow up and things like that. And then they got a cat. But not anymore, thanks to Planned Parenthood. What was Planned Parenthood called beforehand, you ask? Well, it was called the American Eugenics Society. What's eugenics, you ask? Well, black people can't breed. Seriously, they killed 80 million black people by abortion. It's the biggest human genocide in recorded history. Right? And that's in America alone. let alone whatever else was going on. The letter, originally written in 1992, right before the Rio Earth Summit, interestingly enough, and signed by 1,500 scientists, argued human impacts on the natural world were likely to lead to vast human misery. Yeah, because vast human misery isn't going on right now. People aren't doping themselves up on psychotropic medications all the time because they're very miserable at the state of the human race. That's not happened at all. And a planet that was irretrievably mutilated, yeah, because we're the enemy. Okay, you have to make humanity the enemy. And that way, people will stop identifying with their own humanity. And they will stop showing humanity to other life forms. All right, including other people. But a quarter of a century since the majority of the world's living Nobel laureates united to sign a warning letter about the Earth, the global scientific community's view of the future is even more bleak. Mostly because the people who are hyping this fear are starting to realize that there's a scam of theirs that's being exposed on a daily basis by alternative media outlets and things of that nature. You know, honest journalists who actually, you know, do this work called journalism, where you put things in context and you analyze stuff and you report to people and you just say, hey, bro, like this is what this actually means and that's what these guys are saying. You know, it's one of my talents. I can sit here and listen to somebody spin a story for 20 minutes and tell the same story back to them in 30 seconds and not miss out any of the important details of that story. And they'll be like, yeah, wow. I can restate things after I've heard them much better than the original person who said them could have thought to say them. That's why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I can. These people with their BS language, convoluted linguistics, you know? It's just, if you throw a whole bunch of BS words around and blah, 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 everything starts to lose meaning. And I don't care about language that has no meaning, all right? Meaning is hard enough to find in a society this freaking shallow. You don't need people who are exposing the truth and so on and so forth to tell you what your ideal version of humanity is going to be. You can find out your own ideal human being to be, all right, with all the skills and talents that you have, etc. And that means that people who try to educate you or try to indoctrinate you or try to get you to join their clubs or their movements and their so-ons and their so-forths are trying to distract you from being you, all right? And it's not like they're trying to help you become a better you. They're simply distracting you from becoming you, all right? It's wise to know the difference. The people who are basically entitled, you know, they feel entitled to dispense quote-unquote truth. They really actually don't care about it. You know, if they did care, inherently care, about truth, about real justice, and actual freedom, most of the things that they would be saying and doing would be counter to what they're already doing right now. They'd have compassion, care, and some kind of promotion of explaining and understanding things and not taking sides and telling people what to think and how to think and so on and so forth. These kind of arbiters are dangerous. Very, very dangerous. I think there's nothing more horrific than the thought that somebody else is in control of your mind. All right, think about that. You listen to one particular radio show host at any one point, and you listen to it too much, you'll start to talk and think like that talk radio show host. All right? Now, do you want to be that way? Do you want to be chilled out? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have fun with life? Or do you want to be aggressive? Do you want to be repetitive? Do you want to carte blanche and categorize everything into little blocks and say, I'm against that? You know, maybe the world's a bit more complex than any one person can really put into words. And the vast majority of the time, I feel like we're being hypnotized, just freaking hypnotized. We've forgotten who we are. We are not who we are anymore. You ever notice that? You think about who you were as a child and you look at me now and you're like, I did all of these really, really stupid things. But that's not who I am anymore. It's like that. But it's in real time that the entirety of the things that we're thinking and digesting in the media and that kind of thing are actually corrupting our minds and turning us against ourselves. Right, that's a freaking scary realization that I'm coming to, man. And that means that each and every one of us is in part being programmed to be our own worst enemies, to sabotage ourselves in any number of ways. Right? Now, that's something that is being reinforced on a global level, I think. We've got all of these simultaneous global crises and this hyping of the fear and even out of the alternative circuit, too. It's always something's terrible and horrible, no good, very bad. I don't see him making any jokes. You know, it's not fun, it's not enjoyable. All I wanted to do was sit down and learn about my extermination for an hour and walk away with a grin. You know, is that too much to ask? Apart from the hole in the ozone layer, which has now been stabilized, every one of the major threats identified in 1992 has worsened. Runaway consumption of precious resources by an exploding population remains the biggest danger facing humankind, say the scientists. Yeah, because they've got hemp illegal. We could have the most technologically advanced and environmentally friendly in a year, society in a year. A year. If we really, really wanted it. But these people don't want it. They want crisis. Why? Because crisis gets us into fear mode. They go, oh, there's something very scary and terrible. Oh, you've got to be afraid. Be very afraid. And sure enough, we are. Because it's the end of the world after all. You know, oh, well, I guess it's a responsible thing to do. Abandon my reason and higher thought processes and stuff of that nature. But, you know, hold on. We've got a guest here who's just popped in out of nowhere. It's Jim Lee. Hey, Jim, do you mind hanging up and calling back in the second hour, brother? That's in about 15 minutes' time. I'm just in the middle of a show here, bro. All right, cheers. Now, as I was saying, these kind of things are trying to get a fear paradigm into us, all right? A fear of something that we can't actually do nothing about. Okay, so, and to illustrate that, what can you as one person do against the entirety of human activity that is causing pollution and dooming the planet? Sweet bugger all is what. Okay, and that's the idea. Now, when I say sweet bugger all, that doesn't mean that you can't do nothing. All right. And that doesn't mean that you plus another person wind up doing three times as much as either of you could do on your own with a unique idea or a unique approach or something to that. Now, that's giving people hope. That's giving people ingenuity. That's giving people a chance to make something happen, to have an effect, a positive effect on the outcome of humanity. What are they saying when they're saying 15,000 scientists from 184 countries said humans had, quote, unleashed a mass extinction event, the sixth in roughly 540 million years, where many current life forms could be annihilated or at least committed to extinction by the end of the century? What happens at the end of the century? The full and final implementation of Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, which will include a mass annihilation of the population. They are preparing us for this. Okay? Preparing us to be exterminated and to make us think like it's inevitable, but there's nothing we can do to stop it, and like it's our fault. I didn't do this. I didn't. I've got evil technology, right? such a bad person. It doesn't matter what I do with that technology. No, 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 I've got it. And that makes me an evil person. I've got an evil microphone and an evil computer and an evil, evil energy saver light bulb. Oh, my God. And I mean that, like, seriously. I wish I had some different lighting in here that wasn't, like, a mercury-filled energy saver light bulb. Not that I'm complaining. At least I've got some lighting. Most people could do with it in their backgrounds and stuff like that. But, you know, you do what you can with what you got. And mine were donated. And I haven't seen fit to buy any more. So you do what you can with what you got, innit? People should eat less meat, have fewer kids, consume less, and use green technology to save the planet, the world's leading scientists urged. Now, I was finding it interesting that a whole bunch of people who are working out, you know, like how Thor gets his physique for the Marvel movies and things like that. Protein, mate. Pounds and pounds of protein a day. Just raw, chugging it back so you can be big and strong, because your body needs the protein in order to do that. Now, we could get, you know, hemp protein and stuff like that, but that's not something these people are willing to offer, because that's a solution. These people aren't interested in the solution. They're interested in mitigating factors, eating less meat. Don't eat no meats. Have fewer kids. Don't have no kids. Consume less. Don't stop consuming at all. And use green green energy. You know, don't stop using energy to save the planet. The world's leading scientists urge. These tiny little steps that actually add up to maybe quite a bit, but they don't actually have the effect that you want them to have. The effect that you want them to have is, say, you're eating less meat or whatever. That would be less cows and so on and so forth being consumed and blah 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 blah. But did you know that close to 100% of the animals that we actually slaughter and things like that gets used? You know, look around you right now and guarantee you almost 90% of the things that you're holding or wearing or built stuff out of or upholstered with or something like that is in some part made with animal products. You know, it's like the hemp plant. As soon as you pull the plant out or whatever, you've got the plants, you've got the leaves here, you've got the buds there, you've got the stalks here and all of that kind of stuff. You've got the roots down here. And every single part of it is usable. Right? That's how humans do things. Right? But when we're saying about eating less meat, there's no moral justification for eating meat. I know that as a meat eater. Just like cigarette smokers know there's no real justification for smoking. They just want to. Or they can't stop. Or they've got very stressful lifestyles or whatever. You don't know. Now, this whole use of green energy, you've seen the scams that are being pilfered out there in terms of, you know, solar heating and the, what's it called, wind turbines and things like that, these big blights on the landscape. And they're really inefficient at creating energy as well. It's just, there are so many ways of creating energy that's actually clean and uses, like, say, water, for example, the water-fueled engines. And this guy made a carburetor that got, like, 200 miles a gallon, like, in the 50s. 200 miles a gallon. I mean, the vaporizing carburetor. Go and look that stuff up, man. There's some interesting things. The technology is there, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have to be living in a society that is consuming without giving back. We don't have to live in a society where to use energy is expensive, in some case prohibitive. We don't have to live in a society where there are haves and have-nots. Everything can be had by everyone. But that means that all the haves right now would have to get in line like the rest of us. And they don't want that. They want their private jet. They don't want just a free jet where everybody gets on and jumps around the world or whatever, or a free global train that travels at Mach 3. So I could, like, jump on the train station tube in Auckland and it would go under the water and then arrive in LA or Washington State or something like that, so I can pop in and see Danny Romero from American Freedom Radio for some In-N-Out burger for lunch, you know, and be home 90 minutes later. Mate, if we could do that, people would be nice to each other because they wouldn't be fending for their lives. We're stuck in a survival loop or something like that, and people need to be aware of it. Now, here comes the last article for this hour, and I think then we're having Jim Lee join us later. Q&A with Jacinda Ardern. We have a role in taking a lead, and here we go. Oh, there's the fabulous Audrey Young from the New Zealand Herald here, who's just, I don't know, for some reason, I don't like the picture and I don't like the articles. And I read them out and make fun of them for, I don't know, maybe masochistic reasons. Maybe I'm trying to hurt myself. Jacinda Ardern is back home on Thursday after her first international summits as Prime Minister. During the flight home, policy editor Audrey Young asked her to reflect on her week away at APEC in Vietnam and the East Asia suburb in Manila. The thriller in Manila. Which leaders have got your cell phone number? See, I love this crap questioning. Which leaders have got your cell phone number? You spent a long time talking with President Moon of South Korea at one dinner. What sort of impression does he have of New Zealand? Who cares? Did you get quality time with anyone else? Who cares? Did you meet Dmitry Medvedev, the Prime Minister of Russia, at the East Asia Summit? Yes, but only briefly. Did he ask after John Key? No. He sent John Key a birthday present after a summit. She's like, really? Was there a highlight of the EAS in Manila for you? It's just all of these soft questions. And lots of them, folks. This is a huge, long, puff piece article for the benefit of the Prime Minister, you know, just sitting there looking all happy and joking away with Justin Trudeau of Canada while they both systematically sell out the country to tyranny of the TPT. Oh, here we are. So TPP wasn't a highlight in Da Nang? It was a highlight in my wang. There was no closure there yet. We certainly made progress, and I was pleased about that. Oh, you're pleased about your TPP progress, weren't you? I bet you are. Who would have thought that trade could be so exciting? Oh, I did learn a lot about the tricks and what was common and what was not, and the fact that there is a lot of manoeuvring close to the end, so I certainly saw that in play. Is this my porno voice? It's going to be. Do you think you exaggerated your opposition to TPP when you were in opposition?
Nah, we were reasonably vehement about it for good reason, particularly about the foreign buyer ban, because that was important to us. But as soon as we found a resolution to that, that then gave us the space to deal with those final remaining issues and to really focus on them. And I think we did a good job of it.
Oh, I think we did a good job of it.
You know, it's soulless, it's mindless, it's boring. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening through to the whole of the first hour here. And coming up in the second hour, we're going to have Jim Lee talking about a chemtrail summit that he's going to. Sorry, a geoengineering summit. Because remember, you can't call trails of chemicals chemtrails, because that makes you a conspiracy theorist. We'll see you after the break.